Fast am I. Hello and welcome to this episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. Did commissioners make decisions without following the rules? The local authority in Maloo is asking that question and will investigate what happened in recent months. Slow down, say Ballabeg residents to speeding motorists. Villagers there have called on the government for help tackling traffic issues. And finally, we hear about Douglas Council's plans for a BG statue on the capital's promenade. Maloo commissioners have called for an investigation over fears decisions were made in recent months without official approval. The authority's internal auditors, Alexander Elliott, will be asked to review a series of events which Chairman Nigel Baisley says may have broken the rules. It relates to an employment matter where Simcox Advocates was asked to act on behalf of the authority despite there being no board resolution to do so. No record exists of the commissioners approving this action, which took place whilst Clerk Barry Powell was off sick. Vice Chair Margaret Mansfield has also resigned at the start of this month. I asked Mr. Baisley to explain why an investigation had been called and why Mrs. Mansfield had resigned.
I can't comment for why she... I don't know why she has resigned. She obviously feels something went on. There is things going on, obviously. There's been issues arisen from this, and we've asked for an independent inquiry into some of the things that have come out from the previous minutes, which is one of the reasons. Obviously, with people resigning on July, the July minutes couldn't be signed off. There wasn't a quorum enough to approve them. And there were certain other issues, which I'm afraid I can't go into at the moment because we've asked for an independent investigation. It may well feel that Margaret felt that she didn't want to go on with that investigation, or maybe she felt that she would be impeding that investigation. I really don't need to ask her as to why she resigned. She has, and that's where we are at the moment, unfortunately.
So is the investigation linked to Mrs. Mansfield?
Not direct, just Mrs. Mansfield. There was a series of events that happened with the previous commission, linked, I think, to some degree why several of them resigned. There was obviously... how do I put this? There was obviously a disagreement with the way things were being done on a certain issue, which is why I think the three other members resigned first. We then discovered some letters that had been commissioned and were addressed to a certain member back in the thing, which we felt warranted an investigation. We're new to this game, but we also didn't want to be seen to be condoning anything that may, and I emphasise the word may, have been close to the line of government procedures.
Can you share any more details about the nature of what may have gone on here for ratepayers' benefit?
Unfortunately, I can't, and I know this is a standard thing of what they call sub judice and everything, but what I don't want to do is start a malicious rumour. I mean, I know, but being cagey may actually start that, but I want to say to everybody, nobody's saying anybody has done anything illegal at this moment in time. All it is at the moment is there's a procedural thing that has gone on, which we as new commissioners are not comfortable with. That's probably the nicest way of putting it. And we have asked for clarification, and this has led to this inquiry. It in no way indicates that anybody has done anything improper, either the first lot of commissioners or Margaret. And I want to emphasise that we're not saying that anybody has done anything illegal, and I don't want anybody jumping to conclusions or whatever else. They can read the minutes of the meetings, which are published online, and you know that. And I'm quite happy to answer questions from individual ratepayers as far as I can. But again, we want this inquiry to be done independently. We want it to be done fairly. So me putting out little bits of snippets, etc., might prejudice the inquiry, and I don't want that to happen. I want this to be totally above board. When it's complete, we will publish the inquiry's findings in full.
And will this independent process come at a cost to ratepayers?
Well, we have to be audited every year. That's not an issue. And we are due for an audit. So we're going to get the auditors to cover this. What we do need to talk, Barry's going to talk to with the auditors, is whether they feel that there should be a separate inquiry.
Which would come at a separate cost, I imagine.
It would come at a separate cost. Yes, it would do. But given, and I'm sure ratepayers would want to make sure that their money is being spent properly and that things are being done properly. And it's a bit of an awkward situation because I'd love to be able to just spurt out why we're doing this, you know, and unfortunately, if I do that, I'm prejudicing the inquiry.
Well, does it bother you that the new board are having to deal with this issue rather than getting to grips with being commissioners?
It is tying up time, but initially, at the last meeting, I think it did tie up a disproportionate amount of time. But I think we're on top of it now, and we're going, you know, forward. I can't see at the moment, most of it is out of our hands now. So other than signing checks and Barry agreeing the parameters of the inquiry, there's not really much for us to do.
And will you be able to publicly share the outcome of anything? Should it be of concern to ratepayers?
Oh, we will. There's no doubt about when this inquiry is finished, right, we will publish it. That's not an issue. I'm not a legal expert, so there may be bits of it we have to retract for names under GDPR or whatever else, but there's no point of us having an inquiry if we're not going to publish it. It's pointless. You know, if we hide that inquiry, then we're as bad as what we're accusing. So no, we the ratepayers have paid for it. It will be published. My word on that.
The chairman of Maloo Commissioners, Nigel Baisley. Ballabeg residents have told politicians and senior civil servants they don't feel safe in their village due to speeding traffic. Around 40 people went to a public meeting last week in Arbury Parish Hall to discuss the issue. But before we get to that, here's what the vice chair of Arbury Commissioners, Jane Glover, had to say on the issue earlier last week.
I could talk for hours about this topic, and I'm sure it's not a problem unique to our neck of the woods. But certainly since we've actually had our Smiley Sid in, and it's been capturing data for us, we've been quite surprised at how the majority of traffic is actually above the speed limit in the area.
So what sort of speeds?
In certain places, I think one was recorded at 72 miles an hour, which is obviously an exceptional one. But if you take the 75th percentile, which is what they use, I think it's 75th or 85th, you've got 38 in quite a lot of the zones that are actually 30. There's another area where heading towards Arbury School, it's 40 miles an hour. Now, we haven't been able to have Smiley Sid there, but you only have to walk along that piece of road and you know that the traffic is going above that speed.
There was the installation of the hump outside Friary Park on Ballabeg. Has that not helped slow traffic?
Yes, it has in that particular area. The speeds now have gone down by an average of 10 miles per hour. So definitely that has slowed the traffic in that area. However, there are still areas within the rest of the village where people are wanting to walk their children to school. And it's a perception, it's a feeling that the cars are speeding past them.
Have there been near misses then?
There have actually been a couple of times that people have been clipped by wing mirrors of cars that have been reported to me. And I think, especially as at the moment the government are looking in urban areas at reducing or introducing more 20 mile an hour zones, we've actually asked about that and they've said villages aren't actually part of the scheme.
What do the commissioners want to see to address this problem?
What we'd like is open conversation between the members of the public that are concerned, and we've got Jeff Robinson, Director of Highways, coming down. So they'll be able to interact directly with him, voice their concerns, but I think what's really important is some of them have come up for ideas and solutions, and I think that's what we'd like to get out of the meeting. It may be something that the highways have considered, but that the individuals are able to say, I understand that, however, this is still a problem. Can we not revisit that?
Vice Chair of Arbury Commissioners, Jane Glover. Well, solutions discussed at the meeting included reducing speed limits, introducing a drop-off point at the parish primary school, employing a lollipop person, and also speed cameras. The DOI's Director of Highways, Jeff Robinson, was at the meeting and stressed that with limited resources, his department prioritises work using a list of the worst accident spots on the island, which Ballabeg wasn't part of. But residents countered the only reason no one gets hurt is no one dares to go out. I was at the meeting and got the reaction of these residents.
I live on Duck Street. I try to get off there in the morning and I'm waiting there, revving up, you know, waiting for a slot light, you know, to come.
Life in your own hands, sort of.
It is, yeah. Or if I have to walk across the road, if I park up around the corner, I'm halfway across the road and then I'm running back again, halfway across, running back again. Like I say, I mean, we've all got, you know, stories on Duck Street, you know, losing wing mirrors, you know, sort of people on the horns, you know, sort of like, you know, just stars and that, yeah.
Well, speed cameras were mentioned. Is that something you'd be prepared to have?
Shut up and dance. It's the only way it's going to stop people. Because, like, say, you have to have, I don't know, a deterrent. People don't want to pay money. At the end of the day, they will not pay money, like, you know, so maybe, yeah. Maybe that way.
I thought it was a good starting point, but there's a lot of work to do, and hopefully people, the stakeholders, will be involved where necessary and not just ignored.
What kind of solutions would you like to see?
I agree that even though there is an argument to say that speed limits, blah, 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 don't work, I think people would avoid the road. If there were too many speed limits, they'd go the other way. So that's what we want, really, isn't it?
So 20 mile an hour or something similar? Or
yeah, more speed bumps, perhaps. not very popular, but something else to slow traffic down. And I don't know about school crossing patrols, because you'd need two of them. If a parent is going to trust the child to walk to school on their own, they'd need a school crossing patrol at the Friary Park and another one outside here.
Do you feel comfortable driving around the village?
I feel okay. I'm surprised that there is no advance warning that the hump is there. I would have thought that would be something they would have to do, because if people aren't familiar with the road, there's nothing to say it's there, is there? A bit of advance warning might be useful.
It was interesting. I'm glad a lot of people turned up, but I still don't think that the politicians and the government people have realised just how serious the situation is. They seem to have wasted a lot of money putting crossings in that don't really mean anything. The Friary Park Junction, which affects us a lot, hasn't really been any improvement. And I just think that we got a lot of waffle, basically.
One thing that was mentioned, speed cameras, is that something you'd be prepared to accept or not?
I would be prepared to accept them now. One time I wouldn't, but I've seen across that they do work, they do slow traffic down, and I think we're reaching the stage now with the amount of cars on the road that we've got to start to do something drastic. Some suggestions that was made tonight about putting 20 mile an hour limits, something that it's not going to stop a lot of people. I think if there's speed cameras up, from what I've seen, say, driving across, is that people do slow down for speed cameras.
I think that it should have happened a long time before it got to this stage. There's an angry feel in the room because the department and the local authority, the commissioners, the departments just don't speak to each other. They just ignore each other, and then it gets to the stage where you have angry public, and then you have angry commissioners who are getting it from all sides. All people need to do is talk to each other, communicate between each other properly. We're having this problem. How do we solve it? Okay, what about this solution? That solution's not worked. It's just all about communication, and if departments communicate more with local authorities and between each department, I'm sure it wouldn't get to this stage.
Well, on the speeding issue itself, can you just describe how serious that is?
Incredibly serious, especially past a school. A 40 mile an hour speed limit right next to a school is just moronic to me. It's it's baffling. I don't understand why the department feel that it's justified for a 40 mile an hour speed limit.
So what's the solution?
The solution is to reduce the speed.
How do you think the best way is to do that? Because I guess that's what people would have been debating here tonight, is what is the best way of doing that?
The best way to reduce speed is education and reducing the national speed limit, so that people are going to think before they travel, oh, it's a lower speed limit, I need to set off earlier, or I won't go that way because it's going to take longer because I've got to travel at a slower speed.
But do people respect that speed limit? Because I mean, from the data the commissioner's got, where it's heard someone going through at 70 or whatever, it seems that people don't respect the speed limits anyway.
No, they don't, because it's lack of enforcement, and that's down to the policing issue that we have on the island with enforcing speed limits. And even tonight, before this meeting, you had the DOI and the Isle of Man Constabulary begging people to slow down and drive to the conditions, and they've actually had their officers being put in danger because of speeding and the weather conditions and people not driving to the speed limit or the conditions. So it's just a national problem, speeding here, definitely.
Ballabeg residents there. Well, Mr. Robinson from the DOI told me the department has to be realistic about what it can do to solve the problem.
I can't make any promises at this stage, but I do agree with the people in the village that there is quite often inappropriate speeds going through the village. The solutions to that are not easy, but we have already done a lot of work to try and combat that, which some of which has been successful. We have promised tonight that that's due its first year review after implementation. And coming out of that review, there may be changes and tweaks that we can do, and we can reconsider some of the decisions we made in terms of crossing points as part of that review. In addition to that, we've committed to bring in SusTrans, who are a charitable organisation who are very supportive of walking and cycling, to work with the school to see if we can increase the confidence and the ability of people to walk to school. And they will also recommend to us changes that we might be able to make to the road infrastructure that will help support that.
Many were frustrated to hear that the department acknowledges that reducing speed limits just doesn't work sometimes. People still don't abide by those limits. So how do you reassure people that what you're doing is going to have have meaningful impact when that's the case.
Speed limits in themselves don't work. They have to be followed up with enforcement and education and engineering of the road to create an environment where the driver wants to slow down. Getting the balance of that combination is very difficult, and we are working with other partners within government to see how we address that. But as a department, we are very keen to try and bring back the sense of villages on the Isle of Man, where perhaps the balance has gone a little bit too far in favour of the car driver, and we need to try and give the streets to a certain extent back to the people who live there.
The Department of Infrastructure's Director of Highways, Jeff Robinson. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. The leader of Douglas Council says plans for a statue of the Bee Gees on the promenade will have worldwide appeal. According to David Christian, the authority wants to create a landmark feature that both visitors and locals will appreciate. A shelter between the sunken gardens on Loch Promenade will be demolished to make way for the statue. It will depict the three Manx-born Gibb brothers atop a vinyl record with the words Ellen Vannon written around the perimeter. Robin and Barry Gibb attended a ceremony at Douglas Town Hall in 2008 where they were awarded freedom of the borough. Mr. Christian says discussions over a statue started back then, and the authority is trying to see if Barry can attend the unveiling next year. He discussed the proposal with me.
It's been mooted for a number of years, to be honest with you. We awarded the Bee Gees the honorary freedom of the borough in 2008, and it was sort of discussed at that time, but there was no funding available to actually commission a statue or anything at that time. As the promenade scheme has developed, we've been looking for a landmark feature to go on the promenade, and various things have been discussed. People will recall the flying seagull that was going to be down there. There was going to be a very large weather vane was discussed. And as time has progressed, we've certainly come around to the feeling, well, this would be an ideal place to put a statue off the Bee Gees. It'd give something new to the promenade, and the way that it's been designed, it's going to look as if the three of them are literally walking from the promenade, crossing the road, straight into Regent Street. So this is linking the regenerated town centre with the regenerated promenade area, which is something we're wanting to achieve.
Is that deliberate symbolism to say, look, the Bee Gees are coming into town, so you can come into town as well?
It most certainly is, and that's how we asked the sculptor to look at it. That's what I certainly was wanting to achieve from day one, and that's why that site was picked. The shelter is in need of repair, like everything else on the promenade, you know, it's got pick of age to it. It's not the existing shelter. I've seen one or two comments on social media already about the loss of a traditional shelter. That shelter altered many years ago. It used to be all in partitions inside, but it was used as a toilet. It was used for sleeping and everything else. So all the insides of it was ripped out, and it literally is a roof now with a couple of columns. So we think that's the ideal place to put a statue of the three brothers on a plinth, which will resemble a record. On the plinth itself will be Ellen Vannon, so it'll be in Manx and in English, and then there'll be uplighting up around the statue as well. So it's going to be a real prominent thing on Douglas Promenade.
So do the council feel this will have an enormous sort of tourist draw as well? When you look at the success of other statues across the world, I'm thinking of the Beatles in Liverpool, but there are other examples.
We most certainly do, and it is the same sculptor who's did the Beatles who's doing the one for the Isle of Man as well. So we've seen his work, we know what he's been able to achieve. He's well renowned all over the world for the works he has undertaken, and he's very excited about doing the Bee Gees. And you're quite correct, no matter where you go across, there's different sculptures that always attract attention. Now, we have got them here. I mean, we've got George Formby, we've got Sir Norman Wisdom in the town, and I can remember some years ago when the council supported, it was Douglas 2000 then, but became Douglas Development Partnership, to put those in. There was criticism then. Oh, there's better things to spend your money on. How many thousands of photographs have now been taken and gone off this island posing with those statues? And I think the Bee Gees will be even bigger in many ways, because when we awarded them the Freedom of the Borough in 2008, if you went online and looked at the number of websites, and we were bombarded with people wanting information, wanting the official photographs to be uploaded, and it just went crazy. I mean, we couldn't cope with it down here. We actually had PR people in assisting us to cope with it. And I think the same thing will happen here now, unveiling something like this in the land of their birth. And they are very proud of it. They've always been very proud of it. And either on TV or at concerts, they've often referred back to the land of their birth. And when we gave them the freedom of the borough, they made that very clear. And that's on video for everybody to see. When the blue plaque was unveiled up at 50 St Catherine's Drive, again, very, very proud of their roots on the Isle of Man. So I think it's an extension of that, but it's something that will be very good for Isle of Man PLC.
And I suppose it begs the question, will you be able to get the last surviving BG to come and see you unveil the statue, or at least pay some tribute to that happening?
Yeah, we're certainly looking at the moment. We're hoping for it to be completed in March next year for an unveiling in April. So hopefully it'll be just before the life of this council comes to an end. And we've already been in contact with representatives off Barry, so they are aware of it. Dates are being checked now. And I think that would be the icing on the cake to bring them over, because I know when we awarded the Freedom of the Borough and we had Barry and Robin here, I mean, the crowds outside and people further afield that just said it was fantastic to see them both together. But I think to get Barry down on the promenade to unveil something like this, I think will really go down well, and it will get worldwide coverage. And that's what this is really all about as well. It's giving them recognition for the land of their birth. It's putting something in the town that visitors will appreciate, that locals will appreciate, that people will talk about. It's given a new feature to Douglas Promenade. And, you know, I think then that the spin-off from that will be, and you can't put a value to it, is the thousands of people who have their photographs taken and take that off the island and advertise Allen Man.
Well, what is, I know you said you can't put a value on it, but how much is it expected to cost the statue? Have you got a figure?
Yeah, it's going to be in the region of, well, it's not just the statue, because there's lots of civil works to be undertaken as well. There's the base, there's the civil works, there's the demolition of the old shelter and everything like that. It's going to be in the region of about £150,000. How much of that will be funded fully by the council is not determined as yet, because if we get plan permission, and we are hopeful, we've been talking to the planners before we submitted it, which is always sensible, because they're always helpful. They want to be helpful. So we've already had conversations with them. We're hoping to get planning middle of December. And if that's the case, we will be putting a bid into the Lottery Trust and hopefully maybe have them on board with us as well. And then they'll be put on any plaque down there as well to say that they've contributed to it. Hopefully we'll be successful. But what we've done with the funding for this is that when we sold assets from the horse trams, the funding from that goes into a capital receipts fund. And we decided at that time that that's where this would be funded from. So the horse trams were on Douglas Promenade. They were there as a tourist attraction, form of transport, whatever you want to call it. And we felt that it was right for any monies that came in from the horse trams, rather than just going back out that year in a slight reduction in the rates, which would have been slight, you know, and the next year they probably would bounce back up again. Let's give something that's going to be long-term and long-standing and be there for many years to come. So it's going to be funded from the Capital Receipts Fund rather than having any impact on next year's rates.
Does that bring your investments in the promenade close to, if not over, £1 million?
It will be, yes. You've got good memory. Yes, I mean, people can see all the new lights going up on the promenade now as well. And with all that investment, I think that's about £800,000 that's going on down there. So yes, with the statue, it will be. And of course, we are doing other associated works in the gardens as well. But I mean, if you think that government's investing £22-23 million, then the ratepayers of Douglas investing £1 million, and then the investment through the shopping area, the linking up with the quay, that's major investment in Lower Douglas. And small things like statues really contribute to the whole streetscape and the landscape of an area. And I think no matter where you go, you'll always have people that will say, oh, there's better things, there's other things you can spend the money on. I know each year when we put money in the budget to replace children's playgrounds, you read on social media the number of people against children's playgrounds, and I think to myself, well, you're never a child. Maybe they only had conkers and marbles to play with, you know, but you get that sort of criticism. But if we sat back and listened to that, we'd do nothing. We are here to make decisions, and I'm glad the council supported this. It's been, as I say, talked about for a number of years, and hopefully in April next year it will be there and for everybody to see.
You mentioned the meeting between the two brothers back when they were made freemen of the borough. Now, just tell us a little bit about that, because that actually came at an interesting period in the BG sort of history, really.
Yeah, it certainly did. When we were trying to pull all that together for them to come over to the island and that, there was obviously, I don't know whether you'd call it a rift or whatever within in the family, but the two didn't seem to communicate and talk to one another. And we were dealing with two different camps while we were pulling that together at the time. And we were definitely dealing with Barry's management, and we were dealing with Robin's management. Robin's was a little bit more easier, because we could actually contact Robin because he was on the island living at the time as well. That was a little bit easier. But on the day, we were told that they would arrive separately to the town hall, and we had to make provisions in the town hall for that type of thing to happen. And yet, when the two brothers came and they came into the town hall, and we had a discussion in a room, and then we surprised them with a school choir singing outside, and they came onto the steps, and everybody could just see the closeness of those two brothers together. They were there united, standing on Douglas Town Hall steps. That was the photograph, even before we'd finished the ceremony in here. It was all over the world. It had been uploaded onto websites. People were clicking away. It seemed to be the picture they wanted, was those two brothers together. So I always feel, well, we achieved it here in Douglas. You know, they may not have been talking so much with one another then, but certainly that day and the way they shared their memories with members of the council and the public that attended that event, you know, it came across very, very clearly that they were very much united and very fond memories of our island and their island.
Council leader David Christian. Well, just a review of the cost of that project. It includes demolition, lighting and civil works, which brings the estimate up to around £150,000. As we heard in the interview, bringing the council's total investment in the promenade past the £1 million mark, along with the £800,000 earmarked for lighting. Well, that's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon. And you can listen again to this episode online as a podcast via Spotify or the Manx Radio website. But for now, Guru Mayu and goodbye.